Speak, O Lord, for your word is truth. Amen. I'm going to leave my mask on today. I'm at day 11, but through this liturgy, I'm going to stay masked. But thanks for listening close to the microphone. Valentine's Day is tomorrow, right? I discovered this when I went into CVS yesterday and just was like kind of blasted by the pink and the red. I was not expecting that. One whole aisle, boom. This is the day when we tell our beloveds how much we love them and how much they mean to us. Hold on. There we go. And it is a day when the hallmark mantra is, the heart of love will last forever. Right? So my eye was caught, maybe a little bit perversely, by this line from Jeremiah, his prophecy. It's the way he frames his Valentine. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? Well, happy Valentine's Day. Jeremiah's thesis is that hearts are more mysterious than Hallmark cards, that they are multi-directional. They aren't always stable and consistent. They deviate from the course that we want them to be on all of the time. I came across this quote by an Orthodox theologian, Olivier Clement. A friend of mine sent it to me, who's a psychologist, who said, this helps me understand the fall a little bit. He said, the self is a shadow theater of neurotic characters. It is they who are pulling our strings instead of the other way around. While the rational intelligence is busy making distinctions, the heart and obedience to dark subconscious forces is obliterating them. We are turned this way and that, lacking any center of balance. And I have to say that I experience that as true more often than not when I'm investigating my own heart, if I'm honest. Jeremiah goes so far as to calling it a curse. Cursed are those who kind of trust in their own hearts, lean on mere mortal flesh. He said the image he paints is quite intense. They shall be like a shrub in the desert that shall not even see when relief comes. So live in the salt lands. And it occurred to me at the 9 o'clock, what Jeremiah is painting is this picture that everybody knew about in that land, where the Jordan River is just verdant and abundant as it comes into through this subtropical space of palms and sycamores. And almost in a line that you could draw like the pew, it ends. And it becomes an alien landscape. Not a thing grows. It's the Dead Sea, one of the most toxic places on earth. Beautiful, but alien. That's the picture he's painting. As he pivots to this equally stunning alternative. It's one of the most beautiful passages in all of Scripture. Listen. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. What a powerful image of a human being fully alive and fully aligned. This heart that's brimming full and running over endless resources because it's drawing from the source. What makes the difference? How does one become one or the other? Such a different outcome. Well, sticking close to the prophet's own argument, Jeremiah's words, it's just this: trust. Cursed are those who trust in mere mortals, make flesh their strength. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. My own recent experience is teaching me a little bit about this. I am going to be traveling this coming week to the Diocese of Nebraska, where I'll be leading the clergy retreat for 4 days. And in preparing material, or preparing to go, I have felt increasingly more anxious about what I have to offer for these days to colleague clergy, about 60 of them. And as I've sat with this, it's made me feel really often not enough. A couple of days ago, realized, wait a minute, this what Jeremiah is talking about is active in my life. I am completely depending on my own resources, what I can see that I have to offer, and that's the whole equation for me. I have completely missed this trust factor of saying, wait a minute, there is more that will be happening when we are together, more that is part of whatever my little piece that I bring, that I can see. I'm not living as if that were true. That trust of saying, God's got this. God always has this. There's so much more going on. You know, that leap of faith to add to the equation. Just remembering that still keeps me shaking in my boots a little bit, but realizing there's more, not less. That is going to be my spiritual work for the rest of my life. Living as if, not make believe, but just really standing in that place and being able to do it in the moment, not just remembering in retrospect, like right here, right now. Trust in God is this visceral and gutsy step into the gap where we don't just use our own resources as our source of power, but tap into the deep heart of life, the heart of love, the heart of God that's just pulsing in every moment, whether we can feel it or not. We can't predict or control that. We can only throw ourselves into it and let it happen. And we will only experience it in that leap. Jesus, in the Beatitudes today, does the same thing, kind of painting this two-track path of blessing and woe based on our choices. Jeremiah does it. They're both prophets. They do this for clarity, to be able to really see where these paths lead. But I wonder if the real deeper practice of life is actually bringing both of these parts of the heart together. There is that part of us that is afraid and shriveled and addicted to the way we do things and just, you know, trying to hold it together and not really willing to change. And then there's this part of our hearts that are really deeply willing and wanting to be well and whole and know that this is true, that God is with us in every moment. One of the most powerful practices of life, I think, is to practice this deep self-forgiveness for that part of our heart that isn't ready to open, is scared and afraid. Holding that. And at the same time, taking this gutsy leap forward to trust, to step larger, to live deeper, trust more fully, trust life. That could probably just be the motto of Jesus and Jeremiah and all of us. There is enough and more than enough in every moment. That's the deep and difficult and beautiful and daily work of our lives. It's daily practice to help our hearts be healed and whole that then can make us healing presences to others with their broken hearts. So I think if we take up this practice, this dual daily practice of self-forgiveness and then just trusting the moment, taking the leap, taking the risk, fully embraced by God, then this promise can become real in our lives. This blessed, open-hearted vision of Jeremiah. So maybe hear this as Jeremiah's Valentine to you. Something to step more deeply into as you hold your heart and hold others' hearts in love, all the parts of them. As we do that, this is what happens. This is who we become. You shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. You shall not fear when heat comes, and your leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, you are not anxious, and you do not cease to bear fruit. May it be so for each of us and for this beloved community. Amen.